This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, and here we are. It's time for Final Pitch. Twins fall to the Cleveland Guardians 4-2. And as always, each and every night after Twins baseball, for 30 minutes, we take your phone calls, we take your text, and the phone number, as always, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And this was, now it's back-to-back losses for your Minnesota Twins. But a couple of things about tonight's loss against Cleveland. First and foremost, I think that when you look at this performance, okay, that's the word that I'll use, this was one of those missed opportunities. During the course of a Major League Baseball season, any athletic season, there's going to be games that you look at and you say, we had a great opportunity there. This is going to go down as a missed opportunity because I believe that when you have Pablo Lopez cooking and just dealing the way that he was tonight, you got to get some runs on the board. And look, I get it. Their starting pitcher was no joke tonight as well. Okay, he performed at a high level. But I loved everything, Luis Ortiz, but I loved everything about what Pablo gave you. And Pablo just, I think he deserved better. Not to say that the Twins didn't try. They tried. They failed with regards to getting some runs on the board. But Pablo Lopez tonight went 6 1/3. He gave up 4 hits, 2 earned runs, walked no one. He's only walked 4 batters the entire season, okay, to this point. 6 strikeouts on 90 pitches. And actually, when he gave up the first run of the game, he wanted to stay in. It looked like he wanted to stay in. When Rocco went out there to go get him, and you could tell as he's talking through his glove and just the emotion and expression on his face, he was trying to talk his way into staying in the game. When Rocco took the ball, you could tell that Pablo was frustrated. And for me, that's what I want to see. I want to see my ace. I want to see that guy that's fiery, that's a competitor, want to stay in the game. Because he felt like he still had something left in the tank. And I quite honestly, I believe he did have something left in the tank. Now, I'm not going to sit here and argue that Rocco was 100% in the wrong and all that stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But I just love seeing that from one Pablo Lopez, number one. Number two, we're having another one of those stretches where we're not scoring. Last night you scored a run. Tonight you scored two. The inconsistency that we see from this team with regards to scoring runs and not scoring runs, we've got to get that kind of figured out. And one of the other things, lastly, before I have Chris chime in, and Paul Molitor mentioned it there in the post game, was down the stretch, like the final 4 innings, we just struck out way too much. And I know that I kind of tweeted about it yesterday. I know that Edward Julian, who didn't, he pinch hit tonight and struck out. He tends to strike out way too much for my liking. But at the end of the day, this team tonight, Chris, they struck out 13 times.
Yeah, 13 times, Henry. And not only that, but like Paul had mentioned, they struck out 12 times.
In the last 4 innings.
Yeah, 10 times in the last 4 innings.
Yep.
So, I mean, you do the math. That's 10 out of 12 is basically what I'm saying. Only 2 of those at-bats in the last 4 innings did you put the ball in play. And it's unacceptable for you to go up there and give away those at-bats because Luis Ortiz, he's not a Tanner Bibee. He's not a Tarik Skubal. He's not a John Flaherty. He's not a Cole Reagans. Like,
that's somebody you touch. You got to touch him.
Absolutely. That is somebody you have to touch. And you were talking about Pablo Lopez and, 90 pitches tonight. He had 77 pitches going into that seventh inning. and the error proved costly. He should have probably just eaten that ball, but you're looking at it hindsight 20/20. Pablo is one of those guys that I don't know if we can look at it the same way that we did before. Well, it's like, yeah, this is a game that you have to win. I think the bottom line is we saw tonight that you used guys in your lineup that are usually going to be your bench guys, like a Deshaun Kersey, like a Cody Clemens. Like, these are guys that are your bench players. And I know that Rocco put him in there to, you know, give him a day to have him start. But I think you saw just that there were some holes in this lineup.
All right, so there's one thing I want to throw at you. I don't know if you agree or disagree with me on this, but I want to get into it.
Okay.
I'm not saying that this is the reason why the Twins lost tonight, but I thought that in the seventh inning, I thought that Pablo Lopez 100% was getting squeezed by the umpire. I thought that and it was brought up on the broadcast multiple times with multiple different batters. I just thought that they were doing him a injustice. Like, what was going on with that strike zone? I didn't like it. I thought it was unfair, and I thought that they absolutely missed some strikes.
They might have, but at the same time,
I think they 100% did.
But okay, be that as it may, they're going to miss calls. There were a couple of calls, like on Stephen Kwan, where and he doesn't strike out. And Stephen Kwan, had some strikes for Cleveland that were called on him. The bottom line is when you've got two strikes, and especially Paul Molitor mentioned this, like the I'm not going to put it on the umpiring. There might be a case, but there are going to be missed calls in every game.
No, I know that. But no, and I'm not saying that was the reason why it cost them the game or anything like that, whatever. But the bottom line is that Santana should have been out, at least in my opinion, with the strikeout call there.
Yeah, I mean, again,
I agree with Corey and Denard with regards to that. I thought that there were some missed calls. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that that's the reason why they lost the game. I thought that there clearly, though, there were some missed calls that did not help out Pablo.
Yeah, see, and I was listening to the, you had your TV on. I was sitting here monitoring the broadcast here. So I didn't know exactly, what points they were making. There weren't the same points that were being made on the radio side here with Chris and Paul. So I can't necessarily, speak to what Corey and Denard,
sure. Yep.
Yeah, what
yep.
Corey and Denard were saying. But it just goes back to the fact that you have to be able to manufacture runs. You got to be
sure.
able to put the ball in play. And regardless of whether or not you were getting squeezed, I don't feel like it was egregious for either side. So if there was one side that seemed like, because we saw much worse umpiring, I want to say last night and maybe even a couple of nights ago when the Twins had that 11-1 leads or that 11-1 wins. So there were some issues, I think, then. But at the end of the day, you can't strike out 10 times in the last four innings and expect to be competitive in a game.
Agreed. All right, 651-461-9226. The Twins fall to the Guardians. We now sit with a record of 13-18. The Cleveland Guardians improve to 17-13. We'll take our first break. We'll come back. Love to get your reaction, a phone call or two, possibly a text. We'll do that next year on Final Pitch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, welcome back to Final Pitch News Talk 830-WCCO. 651-461-9226. Twins fall to the Guardians 4-2, second consecutive loss. It was not about Pablo Lopez, though. He wasn't the reason why they lost. I thought that Pablo gave them everything that he had tonight. We'll talk more about Pablo here in a second. But let's get to the text line. Texter from the 612, Steve says, great work as always, guys, on on the way home from a lacrosse game. We appreciate that, Steve, for listening. From Stevie. The 763, the Twins need to replace their catchers, the manager, and what's with all these no-name players that were not in spring training. I don't watch the Twins on TV and probably will not listen to the Twins on radio anymore. Man, I don't want you to leave us, 763 listener. The Twins have, okay, not a good team. The Twins will be lucky to win 70 games this year. I disagree with that. I think this team is better than what they're showing right now. But look, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it for anybody out there that is disappointed. I think that the Twins are disappointed with the start to the year, but they've been playing better baseball. You can't sit there and then look, I know they lost tonight, but you can't sit there and say that in the last week they haven't looked better.
No, I mean, I think they've won like 7 out of their last 10 or 6 out of their last 10. And, you know, while that might not be setting the world on fire, you look at where they started at 7-15. The bottom line right now is, yeah, they have guys that, you know, maybe fans haven't heard of, like a Jonah Bride or a Cody Clemens. They're just trying to field enough until you can get guys back from injury. And you've got Willie Castro that's close to coming back. You've got Royce Lewis that's potentially, you know, close to coming back.
We need Matt Wallner back.
We need Matt Wallner back. And, I mean, I think he's going to be reevaluated when, you know, when the team gets back home from that hamstring. He still might be several weeks away.
We had Pablo miss a couple of starts.
Yeah, so, I mean, this team has probably been one of the most injury-riddled so far in Major League Baseball. That's not making excuses, but that is just a stone-cold fact. And, I mean, when they were on that stretch where they were winning those series against the White Sox and then the Angels and the first game against Cleveland, they were able to string hits together and put together, you know, longer extended innings, because that's what we've been talking about, Henry, pretty much the entire season, and it goes back to last year. Like, they can score, you know, in one or two innings, but then you got to continue to put the pressure on. If you can't score in those middle innings, and if you have a problem putting the ball in play in the last three innings, then you're not going to win very many, you know, baseball games. So they need to go back to having a more consistent approach. I've seen glimpses of it, but it hasn't been consistent. But I think part of that is just the fact that you've been missing a good amount of your horses all year long.
Right now on Final Pitch, it's time to find out who cooked tonight. And the individual that cooked tonight is, without question in my mind, Pablo Lopez. I know he got the loss tonight, but he went 6 1/3, gave up 4 hits, 2 earned runs. He walked no one. He's only got 4 walks on the season. That's impressive to this point. And he struck out 6 on 90 pitches. Here is one of Pablo's 6 strikeouts.
Here it comes. Swung on. Did he go? Yes, he did. He swings and misses as Nolan Jones tried to check his swing and couldn't. 6 punch out for Pablo Lopez.
Pablo Lopez right now has an ERA of 2.25, and he is looking every single part of an ace. He is pitching well. We got to give him some run support. I'll say this. The Twins very easily could be in a situation where they would have taken the first 3 games. Chris Paddock is used to not getting run support. He didn't get run support last night, Chris. And then tonight, Pablo Lopez didn't get it either.
No, I mean, I think Bailey Ober is the only one that gets any sort of run support. I mean, it's okay, they might score 15 runs a week, but they score 11 of them in one game. And, I mean, that's not fair to everybody. I mean, you got to be fair to everybody. I mean, hey, if we were talking, you know, cumulative over the last 3 days, then the Twins would have won all 3 games. But be that as it may, the starting pitching has not been a problem. The starting pitching, even though you've gotten the, you know, kind of the real gutty, the gritty performances from Chris Paddock, the starting pitching has not been a problem. And when you do get your, you know, your Willie Castro's, your Royce Lewis, you know, Luke Keyshaw has shown that when he's healthy again in a couple of months, he's going to be back in the big leagues. So you're going to have guys that are going to be able, as the weather warms up, I'm not worried about it. To me, it's more about the approach, but I'm not really worried about the guys in the lineup as we get through the season. I don't know. I'm not bothered by what I'm seeing. I'm frustrated, but I'm not like super upset about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Pablo was, man, and look, you can sit there and say, like, you're a little bit biased about Pablo. I like Pablo Lopez a lot as a pitcher. He's an even better human being, but that guy's got talent, man, and he's giving you what he has. And I love to see a situation where a top-of-the-line starting pitcher is out there, and when the manager goes out there, he's looking in the manager's eyes. He's like, I got this. I want to stay in. And not every single time do you want the guy to stay in. That's mm-hmm. not the point that I'm trying to make. But you love the competitive fire that pitcher has.
And, I mean, this is back-to-back good outings coming off of that hamstring injury. And you never know when it comes to these lower body injuries. You never know, especially for a pitcher, you know, because a lot of your power is generated by your legs and your push-off. So it's, you know, you got to make sure that you are completely ready to go. He had a good, solid five innings against the Angels in an 11-4 win. And, you know, you take a look at tonight, he pitched more than satisfactory in being able to win. I mean, you know, 6 1/3, as you said, didn't walk anybody, struck out 6. You know, he had a 2-1 strike-to-walk ratio, didn't get into any deep counts. Like, this was efficient Pablo Lopez. If this is what you, if this is the baseline for Pablo Lopez or what you're going to get from him every single outing, I will take this every single outing for the rest of the year, no questions asked.
Yeah. All right, so Pablo Lopez, job well done, my friend. He is who cooked tonight, brought to you by Chef IQ Sense. Cook like the pros with the product that eliminates guesswork. That is Chef IQ Sense. Check them out at chefiq.com. Hey, before we head into our final segment and get into the highlights and wrap up the show, Chris, I know that you had peeped something yesterday from The Athletic. You wanted to update people on a couple of injuries that have been widely discussed and talked about, because we do want to get guys back. But dive into the couple of updates that you came across.
Yeah, and these are from our buddy Dan Hayes, or as he goes by in social media, Disco Danny Hayes. So this is coming from Dan Hayes, and this is from a couple of days ago. But here's a couple of updates that we have, according to Twins head trainer Nick Paparesta. Said it's probably going to be a couple of months before Luke Keyshaw is coming back, because he's got that non-displaced fracture in his right forearm.
That's to be expected.
Yep. They said at least for now, he won't need surgery on the fracture in the right forearm. But in terms of a baseball timeline, a couple of months could push Keyshaw back as far as July or even August if there's a setback. So if I'm the Twins and I'm Twins territory, I'm not expecting Luke Keyshaw anytime, probably before mid-July. I mean, honestly, let's just kind of, you know, set that out there. But I will say we've seen what he can do in a very limited amount of time. So if the Twins can continue to just, you know, be bunched up with the four teams in the American League Central, and I don't have any reason to believe that they won't, Luke Keyshaw will be back in the majors. He's not going back to St. Paul. Other than a rehab, I don't think that he's going back to St. Paul. He's going to be back up here. As for Matt Wallner, they say that he's going to be reevaluated when the team returns home next week after suffering what they call is a grade 3 left hamstring strain back on April 15th. But Twins, according to Dan, are what they say, quote, much more bullish on Willy Castro and Royce Lewis, who are closing in on a return to the lineup. And, of course, Royce Lewis currently on his rehab assignment with the St. Paul Saints as they are in Columbus.
Nice. All right, 651-461-9226. And that's great stuff and great work from Dan Hayes from The Athletic. He joins us on occasion, but he definitely joins Drive Time with DeRusha, Jason DeRusha. I think it's every single Friday, I think it might be. I'm not. It's either a Monday or a Friday. I'll double-check with Jason here and give you guys that tomorrow. But great job, as always, with one Dan Hayes. All right, 651-461-9226. Twins fall to the Guardians 4-2. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to the highlights and some of the post-game reaction from the manager, Rocco Baldelli, and we'll do that next here on Final Pitch. But nice little pitching matchup tomorrow afternoon.
I mean, if you can't beat Blake Lively, then I don't even know what you're doing.
Were you waiting all day to say that?
Yes.
I think you were. Yeah.
I was, yes.
Yeah.
Was it worth it?
Not really.
Okay.
It wasn't that great of a joke, but cool. I see what you were doing. All right, so there really was no highlights the first six innings because there was no scoring. But in the bottom of the seventh, the Guardians got on the board. Man, Pablo was in a little bit of a jam. Jose Ramirez had hit the single. He stole second. And then eventually Carlos Santana had this swinging bunt. There was a throwing error on the play, and it allowed Jose Ramirez to score 1-0 lead for the Guardians.
Big pitch. 3-2 on the way. Swung on, little dribbler, third base side, picked up by Lopez, throws to first, and he throws it away. It's up the line, it's grabbed by Correa, no chance to get Ramirez at home, and the Twins pitching staff has thrown another one away. An error on Pablo Lopez allows the game's first run to score.
And you could just tell once he finally got to the dugout, like he was beyond frustrated with himself. Like he was livid with himself. I get it, man. Pablo's a competitor. He was so ticked off by that. And, you know, after that, you had a situation where Ryan Jeffers, when Santana had, he was looking to try to steal. Jeffers hit Stewart with the throw. This is when Brock Stewart got hit with the throw when he's trying to throw down the second.
0-1, runner goes. The throw from Jeffers hit Brock Stewart right in the arm. Oh, that hurt. It's a stolen base, and for a guy who's battled arm injuries, shoulder injuries, all sorts of injuries, the last thing Brock Stewart needs is his own catcher to drill him in the arm with a throw to second base. Stewart did what you're supposed to do. He squatted down on the mound, Paul, and Jeffers just hit him with the ball.
All right, so that was a very fortunate situation for Brock Stewart. He was fine. He was okay. He did not need to leave the game. Did you want to chime in on this, Chris?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it was that whole seventh inning that I feel was just kind of the bugaboo tonight, because very efficient, very clean, you know, Jose Ramirez with the single and a stolen base, you know, Deshaun Kearsey, that great catch. But then it was that swinging bunt with the seventh throwing error by a Minnesota Twins pitcher this year. Seven E1s in the scorebook, which is just an asinine.
He should have just ate it. He should have just held on to the ball.
Yeah, he should have. And then it was a matter of the stolen base with the ball, you know, that we just heard. Jeffers, you know, hits Brock Stewart in the left arm. And then the wild pitch, when you knew the ball was going to be in the dirt, Ryan Jeffers has got to do a better job of getting in front of that ball. And then you walked Arias, you know, and had the stolen base, and then, you know, struck out Schneeman. They were one strike away from getting out of this a couple of times. Like, it was so close to them being able to avoid the big time mistake, but it was too much living on the edge, and it caught up with them.
And absolutely correct, 100%, because then after all of that happened, Naylor with a three-run bomb, Cleveland now leads 4-0.
Stewart readies again and fires. Swung on and hit a ton. High drive, right field. That ball isn't coming home, and it's 4-0 Cleveland Guardians. Bo Naylor destroyed that baseball.
Yeah, why is it everybody with the last name Naylor hits home runs against the Twins?
Well, I mean, it's in the name. Nail.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Nail, or, yeah.
Gosh. He crushed that.
He's not a player. He just crushes a lot.
I hear you, Big Pun. I hear you.
Yes.
So at that point, Cleveland led 4-0. The Twins were able to respond in the top of the eighth with a Brooks Lee solo shot.
Gattis into a full wind and delivers. And this ball hit well for Brooks Lee. High fly ball to right field. Jones misjudges it. Back at the fence, he leaps up, and it's gone for Brooks Lee. Brooks Lee with his second home run of the year as he sneaks it over the yellow line. And the Twins are on the board. They trail 4-1.
And they eventually would get a run in the ninth, but it wasn't enough, and they lose the game 4-2. There is something, though, that we have to mention about Cleveland, though, Chris. And it's important that we mention this because, you know, this is a division rival somebody will face plenty of times this year. The thing with Cleveland that you have to know and understand is that this is a team where you have to have a lead going into the late innings. You cannot be trying to come from behind against this team. Now, I know that it's not always going to be the case, but you know that late innings, when you fall behind, you're up against it. Their bullpen likes to shut the door, and they typically do.
I think the word filthy comes to mind when you're talking about Cleveland, and they built it from the back to the front, which I think makes a big difference. But yeah, when you're talking about, you know, getting into the later stages, you're right. You have to capitalize on some of that starting pitching, because if you're going to get those guys on full rest, and granted, you got to them in game one, which was great, but that was the exception and not the rule.
Yeah. So at the at the end of the game, and in the post game reaction, Rocco Baldelli just talking about how, like, late in games, when those games are up for grabs and it's tight late, specifically in the seventh inning and beyond, you got to win those three-inning games.
You got to win three-inning games when you have the opportunity. It's straight where you want to be. You know, Pablo was terrific. There were some things that happened in that seventh inning that they either weren't good or, you know, could have turned out better for us. Some of it was a little unfortunate, and some of it was our own doing.
Yeah, and some of it was their own doing. And I know that Pablo's going to beat himself up a lot about the throwing error and all that, but we got to give guys run support. Just the bottom line. You didn't score any runs tonight for Pablo. You didn't score enough runs last night for Chris Paddock. You got to do a much better job with that.
Yeah, and an interesting stat that was put out there tonight. The Twins are 0-15. Now, when they've scored less than three runs this season, I was doing my Minnesota, you know, public education math. And that makes them 13-2 in games that they score more than three runs. So it's like you got to get to that mark. And you would figure with three, if you can give your starting pitchers three runs of support at this point, Henry, I feel like this team can win, you know, 60 to 65% of their games if you can give them constant run support.
Yeah. Rocco, on cashing in on opportunities when they're presented to you.
The thing is, when you play tight games, it normally will come down to some sort of combination of the little things. We didn't get much going offensively, so it's you know, we can keep pushing the game forward. We had been swinging the bats really good coming in here. We swung the bats good the first day. Some tough action, and we're having trouble just keeping it going. We had a few opportunities. We had some opportunities to bring some guys home, and when those moments come up, you know, you got to find a way to do it, because we didn't have a ton of those chances today.
Yeah, and last but not least, Rocco just talking about how he's hopeful for tomorrow.
We're trying to get back to where we were just a few days ago. We're not far off from that. We have some guys that are still in a good headspace, confidence wise, and swinging the bat wise, and I think tomorrow would be a good day to come in and even up the series and leave town.
All right, let's try to even up this series, man. 2-2. If you walk out of Cleveland with a split, I feel good about that. Especially in a situation where you know in games 2 and 3 of this series that you just didn't score runs, mm-hmm. and you very well could have taken this series.
Yeah, I mean, if you can come out of – you were 3-10 against Cleveland last year, so if you can come out of this with a split, I think you're definitely very, very happy with that, because you've only got 13 games against them every year. So, I mean, it's like every game counts with this new schedule.
Yep. All right, 12-10 first pitch right here on The Good Neighbor. Simeon Woods Richardson, Ben Lively, be listening. Hopefully Twins win, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow night right here on The Lake Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.